This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Stacy Dales, take it away.
Stacy Dales, NFL Network correspondent.
Doing great. Good morning, everybody.
Breaking down the Bears beating news around the NFL.
We have next level hair here at the Combine. And when I say hair, I'm a big fan of mullets.
Former WNBA star.
And the ball stolen away. Didn't see her coming. And Perkins gets the clean steal. Over to Dales, easy land. Stacy Dales off a beautiful feed from Elaine Powell.
Stacy Dales with Mully and Haw.
And I live in Chicago, and I do The Score radio. A little plug there.
On 670 The Score.
Welcome back. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Ruthie Polinsky in for Mully today. Now we get a chance to go to the Score hotline brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, Aturo.com, where we find the NFL Network's Stacy Dales, who spent the week at the NFL Combine in Indianapolis and did everything except for run the 40. Good morning, Stacy. How are you?
Well, I feel like I ran the 40 like every day about 10 times a day. So in my mind, mentally, David, I did run the 40, and I'm feeling it on Tuesday. So
you did a great job. You were all over every aspect of the coverage. Really appreciated that as a viewer and certainly as a professional. I wondered, when you have the takeaways, and there's not just one thing that comes to mind, but did you learn anything that you think is significant moving forward that pertains to the Bears that you didn't know before going to Indy?
Not really. I mean, I think that, you know, we're going to see collectively a really deep group of defensive linemen here in this draft. I mean, you're probably going to see a record taken in the first round alone. Defensive tackle is especially deep. I think that was confirmed when I was on the field with those guys on the first day of our coverage. And there's no secrets, you know, what the Bears, you know, teams are always going to say, you know, we're going to draft value over need. But, like, when you have such glaring needs at certain spots that are difference-making spots in order to win Super Bowls, I just feel like the trench work this offseason in pro days and from the combine now moving forward is going to be and has to be a huge focus for Ryan Poles and his team. And there's a lot of defensive tackles. I mean, I think there's good depth. My takeaway on the offensive linemen is there's good depth. There may not be some of the, you know, cornerstone pieces that, you know, we've seen kind of jump off in the first round at the offensive line, but I just feel like really for both sides of the trenches is going to be a huge focus for the Bears.
Stacy, tell us about Will Campbell, because there's been so much talk about his arm length, and I find it funny, right? Because the tape tells all, and it sounds like Will Campbell's answers to all of the questions about his arm length were just really hit the nail on the head. So I'm curious what you learned just spending time with him, being around him, and getting to talk to him.
Ruthie loves Will Campbell. Love. I mean, this is you got a deep, like, baritone southern draw coming to your team, and he is he's a farm kid originally out of Louisiana. He is a delight, and he's got a nasty streak. He and I spoke at length about his. We had him on camera, but I get a lot of time around these players, and this is no different. My takeaway on the arm stuff with him is, and he's 32 5/8". By and large, that's considered not, you know, ideal for a tackle. I mean, that's what he wants to play. Now, some are going to say because of the arms, he's going to bump into guard. But as he and I discussed, this is no different than Rashawn Slater, right? Remember at a Northwestern, and now he's playing at an all-pro level in the NFL. Peter Skoronski, who's a local guy here, these guys have heard these criticisms their entire lives. And what can't we do in life? We can't change how we're born and the biology of how we're made. So the only thing that you can overcome things with, which are considered deficits in life, is your brain and your mind and how you work and how you compensate. That's what Will Campbell does. He missed one start in addition to their bowl game this past year, a freshman start. So he's a 3-year starter at left tackle out of LSU. He makes that very known. And he's got the mindset that this was something he was always going to deal with. As he explained it to me, people said this about me in high school, and I went to LSU, and I was incredible. And then people are saying about it now, and I'm going to the NFL, and I'm going to be incredible at the next level. And as he explained it to me, you block with your feet. And so I don't see this for me, having spent time with him. And like you said, Ruthie, you watch this guy play. He blocked for Jaden Daniels at one point. I feel pretty good about him, his, potential at the next level. And I don't think arm length is going to stop him from being, the type of caliber player where he should be drafted, which is it should be pretty early in the first round.
Abdul Carter received some alarming news during the week. Maybe it wasn't news to him, but the purpose of the NFL Combine originally was because of his proximity to the hospitals and the medical reports. And the medical report on Abdul Carter was a stress reaction in his foot. Even if he doesn't require surgery, it might raise some red flags about the future health of an edge rusher as dynamic and disruptive as he is. What did you think about that report, and how do you think it will affect where he's drafted?
Yeah, well, here's what was interesting, David, for me on Abdul Carter, because I talked to him one-on-one after his press conference, and this was prior to the information about his stress fracture or stress reaction in his foot, which is overcomable. He explained it to me, one of the reasons he wasn't, besides potentially being the number one overall pick, because he's the number one player on most people's big boards. I mean, you could argue there's probably three, but he's right up there at the top of our guy, Daniel Jeremiah. He told me that he's still working through his left rotator cuff issue. And so that was kind of something he was focused on from a medical standpoint. And then within several hours from that conversation that I had with him, it became the stress reaction in his foot. My conversations with scouts was the takeaway was it's not a concern. He's not going to have surgery as we know it to be right now. But my takeaway was he's got plenty of time to heal up. Listen, I had multiple stress fractures in my career. They take time. You can't do anything. You have to just rest them so they heal. It's obviously not a compound fracture. What is a stress fracture? Right? It's a stress point that has the potential of being kind of a hairline problem. It's very painful. When I played through stress fractures in basketball, I had to get shots of Toradol in order to play, which is not great, but that's what I had to do. It completely wipes the pain away. The only way to heal a stress fracture, unless you there are surgical things you can do, but the only way to heal it is to not do anything on it. So I don't know how that's going to impact his pro day, but my takeaway is it's not going to impact where he gets drafted, and so I don't think it's an issue, but we'll see.
A lot of conversation about Ashton Jeanty potentially being there at number 10 for the Bears.
Yes.
And I know this is, the more we learn and talk to people, and this is why I'm asking you, Stacey, this seems like a very deep running back class to me. And I just don't think that, let me ask you, is there a huge drop off between Ashton Jeanty and someone that the Bears could get maybe in later rounds?
Well, yeah, I think Ashton Jeanty's different. So, yeah. I think he's by and large, Ruthie. Okay, so I'm so glad you brought this up because I was really floored being around him.
Mm.
He is for me the clear cut. Listen, I love some of these guys. Caleb Johnson out of Iowa. This guy's going to be a burner. And he's 6'2", 6'1". He's a big back.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned some of these other guys. Omarion Hampton, Travion Henderson. So Hampton out of North Carolina, Henderson out of Ohio State, Quinshon Judkins out of Ohio State. These are all really going to be good. And you're right, Ruthie, this is deep. Did you guys see Bashil Tutin run? Like, he was flying on the 40, and really great young man. Being around Ashton Jeanty, it's like being around he's an old soul now. Like, he is so cool, and he is so chill, and he is really smart, and he is, you know, one of the comments he mentioned during the week was, like, when I'm in the backfield, I'm relaxed. He sees the game like, you know, a guy who's played it for 40 years and, you know, is sitting back there watching his greatness. Like, he's really special, and his personality is special. It's dynamic. He's going to take coaching really well. One of the things he did, and not many players do this with me, is when I always like to know the feedback they're getting in meetings, and he told me about all the good things, right? He's a three-down back. He's a brilliant runner. He gave me the bad stuff, too, that teams have told him. Most players don't share that because they want their stock to stay high. So he gave me the constructive criticism. He's got to be a better technical blocker. He has to do a better job of ball security, although he only had 4 fumbles last year. He had 30 touchdowns last season. One of those was a passing touchdown, I believe, but 29 rushing touchdowns out of Boise State. I think he's just going to be a production machine. He's super methodical in the backfield, and I think he's going to play wise beyond his years next year in the NFL. I think he's a slam dunk, you know, top 15 pick.
What quarterbacks surprised you the most in a good or bad way?
Tyler Shuck. Surprised me just being around him. The big thing on him is his age. He's pro ready. Like, he is pro ready. He was just out there, and he has like Philip Rivers energy. So I think he's going to get drafted pretty good in this one. I'm not, obviously not first round, probably not second, but maybe late, like third, maybe late second. I don't know. I think he's got a great football acumen, and that's, you know, it's going to impress teams. Jackson Dart's name, there's not anything bad that I keep hearing about him, and I think that bodes well. But the one for me that was just incredible was Cam Ward. Being around him, he's got, I would say, a blend, you guys, of like the energy of a combination of C.J. Stroud and Jaden Daniels, his energy. He's like off the charts, quietly competitive, and mostly quietly confident. Like, he believes he's coming into the NFL to change the game, but he's not gonna like flash diamonds in your face on it. He's just gonna come and do it. He was incredibly impressive to me. I loved his demeanor. He is so humble. He is such a kind soul. He's another old soul like Ashton Jeanty, and he wanted to be out there performing, and he couldn't. He had a ball the entire time. Not unlike you'd have a basketball, like, you know, doing figure eights on the court, just standing watching people play. Like, he had the ball the entire time. He eats, breathes, and sleeps football. He's going to go really high, and we'll see what happens with Shedeur Sanders.
What else did you see in terms of the offensive linemen that the Bears might be looking at besides Will Campbell, the Kelvin Banks, and maybe some other guys that might have stood out?
Yeah, Kelvin Banks, massive, massive man. I mean, he was physically the most imposing that I stood with. I mean, he is, and I'm talking like broad shoulder to broad shoulder. He is a wide body, delightful human being, delightful. I mean, he was raised right. Like, this is a great kid. And he's going to go pretty high in this draft. We talked about Will Campbell. I think there's a couple interior linemen that are really impressive. Tyler Booker out of Alabama, that guy's going to be a slam dunk. Like, everything about his mindset and mentality. Now, he played at guard inside at Alabama. I think he's going to have some position versatility, some position flex because of his mindset. Like, if you were in a pinch and you had to put him out at tackle, he has such a nasty mindset that he could probably go out there and win. So I think those guys stand out. I mean, there's so many in my head right now, David, it's kind of a blur, but Grace Abel is going to be able to play anywhere for you. Like, you could probably plug him in and play center, and he'll do a great job. like Cam Jurgens coming out of Nebraska was, I think, a guard, and he's now the center of the Philadelphia Eagles. I see similarities with Gray Zabel. He was bigger than I thought, like physically. Just when I, because I'm 6 feet, you guys know, and when I stand with these guys, I can feel their size, and he's bigger than I thought he was.
Before I let you go, who was your favorite mulleted prospect since you had to go in your power rankings?
Well, you know, Tim, can we all just, like, have some levity and just relax? Like, I put that report on because I went into the day. Kate Ratledge out of Georgia is my he's my favorite lineman. I always come away with a favorite, and he definitely was my favorite. He's had the best mullet, I would say, over the last 5 years. And he's had it for 5 years, so why wouldn't it be, right? When you rock a mullet that long, you've got to love it and cherish and take care of it. But, you know, I put that report up, and people are like, why? Because, people, we do 6 hours of live coverage every day, and when they run the 40 and you got a mullet, you better damn well believe we're going to talk about them. And then the personality backs it up. Like, I think if this guy can stay healthy, he's going to be a fine addition to a locker room. He's got a great personality. Kind of just want to go drink beer with him, but he's really cool and definitely the best mullet over the past 5 years for me.
The slow-mo of the hair on the 40, it was just, it was incredible.
That was very good. That was entertaining. You have to have some fun when you're there that long and you do as much serious coverage as you guys do.
Yes, you do. And this is where I get to know these players, and this is where their draft journey starts. And it's every bit as fun. And when they're proud of their mullet, or they're proud of their mustache, or they're proud of how fast they are, or how quick they change direction, like, I want them to say all of that. And my job is there. I'm there to facilitate that. And so it's fun to be a part of it. And, you know, it's when you come out of it, though, like I said, when we started, you feel like you've run 40, you know, 10, 40, you know, yard sprints in every day that you're doing it. So it's great, but I'm draft ready. I'm already draft ready.
Well, rest up. It's a long time before the draft. You did a great job, and we really appreciate you joining us this morning,
Stacey. You're the best to do it, Stacey. You really are.
Appreciate you guys so much. Thank you.
Stacey Dales from the NFL Network giving us her impressions of draft week. The